Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gabra.io, and I'm here today with James Smits, the co-founder and CEO of Andrina. Good afternoon. In your case, James, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Now, I'll be the first to say I'm the COO. I can't claim the CEO title, but
did I say C?
I'll leave that to Neil, my co-founder, but I'm just a humble operator.
Oh, just a humble operator. That's it. And a Princeton Tiger.
Yes. I have the interesting distinction of being born, raised, educated, and at one point living in Princeton. So I've seen it from a variety of angles. And now I do way too much business here as well. So, yeah.
Well, and speaking of which, why don't we start with what, you know, share a brief background of yourself and your work experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, today I'm co-founder and COO of Andrina. At Andrina, we do high-speed home internet starting at $25 per month. We'll spend a lot of time talking about that, but kind of, you know, by way of background, before Andrina, which we founded several years ago, I worked in venture capital. I invested in a whole range of startups, really at the earliest stages, pre-seed and seed stage. Got to invest in probably 60 different businesses across a range of industries all around the United States and across the world. And funnily enough, I mean, Andrina actually started as one of my portfolio companies. So Neil, my co-founder, he and I have known one another for a decade. We went to school together. When I first started in venture, what do? You judge a bunch of hackathons, and Neil was the guy always winning the hackathons. And then when he actually dropped out of school to join a startup, he joined one of my portfolio companies. So I was hanging out with him there. And then when he left that company to found Andrina, I was the first investor in the company before then joining him full time. So it's a bit of a not quite family affair, but familial affair in that sense. And, you know, kind of it extends across our team as well. But so that's just kind of the 10,000 foot view on me.
Very cool. And if he won a lot of hackathons, I'm assuming he's the CEO/CTO. Is that correct?
Well, so we have a CTO, Nick DeVoe, who's also a Princeton guy and someone who went to school with us as well, someone I've known for a decade. So again, keeping it close knit. But no, Neil is by trade a electrical engineer, computer scientist. I was an econ major. So it's kind of, you can, by virtue of that, you can see what the Venn diagram of work looks like for us.
Interesting. Well, we've touched on Andrina, wireless internet. Why don't you explain, you know, what Andrina is all about and what differentiates wireless internet from what most people are used to, which is the two wire or the coax cable internet?
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, we're Andrina, high-speed home internet starting at $25 per month. First month is free and all contracts are month to month. How we can do that is, you know, what we do in any given geography is we partner with real estate, predominantly residential real estate. We'll either, you know, buy wholesale internet from like a data center, or we'll actually have a fiber line run into a building. We'll then use that rooftop to go building to building. So actually moving internet wirelessly, no more telephone poles or laid cable. We replace this with wireless links. In the building, we'll then distribute our hardware throughout the building. What that does is it gives residents kind of like ubiquitous Wi-Fi. And it also means that when they sign up, no more scheduling appointments or waiting around for the cable person to show up, let's call it 4 hours late. They're just live right away. And then, you know, not only do we use those rooftops to go from building to building, we also go building direct to consumer. And we have the industry's first wireless router. So again, you know, kind of just as you'd have an Amazon Alexa shipped to your home and then you set it up, you too can have a router shipped to your home and set it up on your own as well. It's all about how do we empower the consumer to be the person, you know, kind of establishing the last mile connection. That's good for us because we can remove having to send someone to your home, right? There's that kind of whole unit of labor that's removed. Mm-hmm. But it also means consumers can get going on their own time, right? They don't have to wait around. It's really about empowering them and then ultimately saving them a bunch of money as well.
Yeah, very interesting. And I remember I used to work for or work with some of the big telcos. And I know at the time Verizon had 23,000 technicians and AT&T had approximately 55,000 technicians. This was about 15 years ago. So that is quite an expense, and the trucks and everything else that goes with it and the equipment.
Absolutely. I mean, it's both a, you know, it's a CapEx and an OpEx, you know, for those companies. And I think, you know, they have a model that works and, you know, look, they've spent all this time building out their infrastructure around that. So it's very hard for them to switch. But, you know, we want to think, how can we, you're starting from scratch, how would you design an internet service provider today, an ISP today? Mm-hmm. And we think that the number one kind of impediment to growth is ultimately the labor associated with expanding a network, right? That's not just signing up customers, dropping the router off and installing it for them. It's, using, telephone poles to go from point A to point B. So if we can be smart about how we use hardware and software to replace kind of the associated time to roll out a network, we can expand rapidly across geographies. And so it's not like we're going a building at a time. We can really expand a geography at a time as well.
Yeah, interesting. So we're going to talk about COVID now and what it's done to your industry, because COVID really, I'm assuming, greatly increased the demand for home wireless or home internet, right? So I'm wondering, did that have what effect did that have on your company in particular?
Yeah, first and foremost, the pandemic's been a, kind of a very sad time across the United States. And, it seems like things are trending positively from a vaccine perspective, but still have to get through the winter. So, thoughts go out to everyone if impacted by it. Now, from our business, it's been a positive in the sense that people need internet. They need working high-speed home internet. They are learning from home. They are working from home. They're doing everything from home, right? And I think when you're spending so much time at home with your previous provider, you quickly realize the service that you're receiving from them, right? So we've seen an influx of customers switching to us. We've also seen a very strong influx of customers who didn't have an ISP previously. Just by nature of kind of some of the geographies that we're in, we are someone's first internet provider because we come in at a price point that is obtainable. And that's something that really excites us, right? It's not just about stealing market share from our competitors, which, look, we're trying to do that as much as the next person, but it's also expanding the market. And I think that's something that's really come to bear during COVID is, we are providing internet to a segment of the population that previously didn't have it. And so we're certainly excited about that. Those are some of our favorite customers to service as well. Now, of course, we love all of our customers, but so I think COVID's been very positive from that perspective. Yeah.
Interesting.
For us as a business.
And are you strictly US or do you have services in any other countries?
So today we're just in the U.S., specifically in New York and New Jersey. We do have plans to be expanding to a few more states, and let's say the coming months, but ultimately, focused on the U.S. for expansion right now.
Interesting. And then, so as long as we're talking about COVID, that forced everybody to go remote basically back in March, including your company. So
yeah.
Before that, did you have a brick and mortar building or did you in an office or did you work from home and work remotely?
Yeah, so we have an office and we still have that office. We're headquartered in Chinatown in Manhattan. I still go in right now. I'm home for the holidays, but when I'm in New York, I'm still in the office 1 or 2 days a week. As a company by nature, we basically were a remote company already, right? Now, because of we are in the field servicing our customers, whether that's bringing buildings live and wiring them up, or actually out interacting with customers, marketing to them, whatever success is needed around that, we're out in the field. And, technically from an industry perspective, we're essential workers. Now, I'll be the first to say that no one is clapping for me at 7 p.m. But by nature, kind of even in those, I live in Manhattan in those darkest hours in, March and April, it feels like we're almost back at those hours, if not surpass them. But I was the one person on the road driving out to Newark every morning to, work on a building or, work with a customer. So, I think that we'd already, we definitely spend a lot less time in the office than we previously did. And there's only a couple of us who really go in, basically those who live in Manhattan and it's kind of easy to get to. But I think, we'd already adapted to, quasi remote as a company. And I think, kind of COVID showed us we are capable of being a fully remote company just by nature of what we do as a business. But I think it also kind of reinforced some of the processes that we had in place. And so I feel like we haven't necessarily been disrupted from a operations perspective. Now we definitely, had dips that we think were caused by the pandemic, but ultimately as a business, we can still churn along just fine.
Interesting. So from your standpoint, since you're an ISP, what do you think is the future of remote employment? Do you think it's going to grow and grow and grow, or do you think people will go back to the old way?
It's interesting. I can see arguments both ways. I personally have always been fine that I can work wherever I just have my laptop and an internet connection. So personally, I'm fine with it. I do like having a desk. I like having a monitor, that sort of thing. Now, and some companies have provided that for employees. I think that ultimately what it's going to look like for the next, you know, let's call it 1 to 3 years is a hybrid. I think that there are people who want to be in an office and they really thrive in that setting. And there are companies that are encouraging people to be in the office. We're not necessarily encouraging people to be in the office. We're leaving it open for people who want to be there and taking every precaution necessary around that. Granted, we're also a small company, so it's easier to track that sort of thing. But I think, look, you know, kind of given the nature of the pandemic, the indefinite timeline that we have around it as well, even if it's, you know, things are looking marginally better in the second half of next year, it's still going to be a hybrid for the time being. I think that just makes sense. I think that a lot of companies have adapted. Those that haven't been able to adapt kind of need to figure that out sooner rather than later, because I'm sure it's hurting them. But I think, you know, ultimately that's, you know, whether you're a small company or a big company or somewhere in between, you like solving problems. And those problems are at different scales. But ultimately, we like tinkering, especially if you're an entrepreneur. So I think it's just viewed as another problem that people can solve for sure.
Interesting. And we didn't touch on this, so I thought I'd ask, do you do just residential or do you service businesses also?
We do both. Now, the vast majority of our customers are residential, but, you know, we work with whether it's, you know, startups, you know, more corporate offices, also small businesses, right? You know, some of our, again, you know, kind of customer segments that we love are small businesses. And I can, you know, we started the business in Princeton, and that's kind of where our first test market was. And, you know, it's fun walking around. Yeah, you know, just this morning, I was walking around town to get a coffee. And you just walk past, you know, basically every other business is a customer of ours. And that's just, you know, it's energizing to see, right? I think especially during these times, you know, I think on average, I save a small business probably a couple $100 or a few $100 a month. So in and of that self, I know that I'm saving someone thousands of dollars in a given year. And so that encourages us to kind of only pursue our mission more. And, you know, again, we kind of save residential customers probably anywhere from $50 to $200 a month as well. So again, I know that, you know, people, you know, some people are struggling through the pandemic, and I hope to think that, you know, some extra pocket change can go somewhere.
Yeah, no, I've actually looked on your website at your rates, and I'm looking forward to when you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, because you will definitely save me money on my current rates. So if there's anything I can do to help you expedite your entry into California, let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, look, there's some great companies in San Francisco, and kind of, you know, Monkey Brains is a pioneer in being a residential wireless internet provider in a more urban environment. So if you're in San Francisco, check out Monkey Brains, a fascinating company and one that's kind of a pioneer in our space as well.
Oh, cool. Well, James, I want to thank you for your time today, and thank you for joining us. And I wish you happy holidays there in Princeton. And thank you for joining us today.
Yep. Thanks very much for having me. Appreciate it.
All right.